Wednesday's with Ryan and Cody, episode one. Myself, Cody Grant, along with Ryan Horvat, brand new podcast here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, talking everything from sports to movies to video games and anything that just kind of comes up throughout the week, whatever we want to bullshit about. What's going on, man?
Not too much. I like the name. I feel like we're psychologists.
Yeah, you know, we really took a long time trying to figure this name out.
And we came up with the worst shit possible.
Wednesdays with Ryan and Cody.
Well, we're going to have to record on Wednesdays, most likely, so it just works out.
Yeah, we can't record on any other day now, right?
You have to be careful what you pick for a name, especially with Tim and Billy's podcast, because you'll just get crucified if you come up with anything that's unoriginal or that they find to be stupid. You want to keep your name off of that podcast, unless it's good things.
So what are the names we came up with before deciding on Wednesdays with Ryan and Cody? Do you even want to mention it, or do you want to just
I kind of want to mention the one that you came up with last night because it made me reconsider even coming in today.
Oh, is it that bad?
Rowdy.
Rowdy, because it's my buddy, actually.
Who, Rhonda?
No, I wish I was buddies with Rhonda.
I would like to be buddies with Rhonda, too, but she kind of scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Especially after Sunday.
I love Rhonda, though. Like, I can do a whole podcast on how much I am into Rhonda Rousey. But my buddy's wife thought of that name. Route is getting rowdy with Ryan and Cody because Ryan and Cody combined is rowdy.
Yeah, I went through. So I thought of the Suite Life of Ryan and Cody, but now, it's kind of a playoff of remember that TV show with the kids when they grew up.
I got grilled on that. My buddy said it's the dumbest idea I've ever heard you say.
That was a great fucking show, though.
I didn't think it was that dumb. Like I thought it was. I thought that was fine. Suite Life of Ryan and Cody.
That show was dope. Anybody that didn't like that show could, yeah.
Then the name I thought about late last night was Something Different.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. But we'll stick with Wednesdays with Ryan and Cody. It's easy, nice and unoriginal. You know, people will know we're on Wednesdays, so they'll know when to look for the podcast. We're posted, obviously, on Twitter and Facebook at 105.7 FM The Fan. So, a lot to get to today in the sports world. Kawhi Leonard, of course, everything that's going on with him. Really the most interesting story, I think, in the NBA offseason, even more than where will LeBron James end up, because we've been through that before. We've seen that before. Kawhi is kind of a lot newer, and we like new things. Madden ratings are out. I don't know about you, Ryan, but I am huge into Madden. I love Madden football. I've been playing it since 1999. We got some baseball we can talk about. Tight division race between the Cubs and the Brewers right now, just within a half game. So where do you want to start here?
Let's start with the NBA, the Kawhi Leonard situation. Because we did an NBA podcast, like, what, 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah.
Was it that long ago?
It was. We did a couple. We had maybe, like, 9 episodes of our NBA podcast. And I remember, as you were mentioning before we came on to record this podcast, you did say Kawhi Leonard will not be in San Antonio next year. And I kind of backed off. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go that far because I think they're going to work something out. When you have Greg Popovich there, you have the pedigree that the Spurs have had for the last several years. They didn't even make the playoffs this year. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, that's their piece. If he leaves, they're going to be in trouble, and I think that you're going to be right. I think Kawhi is going to be gone, and he already requested his number one team he wants to go to is the Los Angeles Lakers or the Clippers, he said, as a far second choice.
Yeah, huge market. Everybody, you know what's funny is we heard nothing but great things about Kawhi Leonard, especially when he was coming up in that Spurs system about how he was going to be the future. He was a humble guy. He didn't care about being in a big market. He didn't care about endorsements. He just wanted to go out and hoop. But money talks, and that's what I tell people when they talk about Giannis staying in Milwaukee forever, is the money does talk. The endorsements are nice. Getting your name out there is nice, and you want to be the highest paid player. Even LeBron, Chris Paul, I mean, they want to win, but they also want max deals. I said it, though, 4 months ago. I said the craziest thing this NBA season is how dysfunctional the Spurs have became, and I feel like Greg Popovich is kind of wearing off on some of these younger guys. You know what's crazy? We were going to have a topic, if we did the podcast last week, about how LeBron has never played for like a classic great head coach, like a Phil Jackson type, you know. And I don't think guys can handle guys like that anymore. I feel like you kind of want a laid-back guy that just lets you run your offensive sets, you know, doesn't really have too much say, but still has a say, just kind of keeps things in line. Like Steve Kerr is a perfect example, kind of a laid-back guy. You know, sticks up for his players and just kind of lets them do what they want. And I feel like that's what guys want now. Guys that are hard on you, like Tom Thibodeau, Greg Popovich, I don't know how much longer they're going to last because everybody wants big deals, especially with all this TV money out there right now, how big these deals are. Nobody wants to go out there and get injured. So if a guy does have a knee injury or a calf injury or something like that, he's going to want to see his doctors, not the team physicians, especially with the Derrick Rose situation, Grant Hill way back in the day, Tracy McGrady, guys that just didn't reach their full potential because of injuries. So we're going to start seeing that. I feel like guys that push their players, people are going to want to play for, like, I mean, see, there's different examples. Like, Brad Stevens is a great coach, but he's not like Tom Thibodeau where his guys are playing over 40 minutes a night.
Yeah, he rotates. He has a rotation where he's playing more than seven or eight guys that Tom Thibodeau uses, and he's not playing his top-level guys 43 minutes and burning them out
and
each and every
game. And he gives
guys
nights off. That's huge, especially on back-to-backs. Tibbs isn't giving
Tibbs
guys—
Tibbs won't do that.
No, man, Jimmy Butler— Derrick Rose is half dead.
You and know, he's
playing
pushing him out
on
there.
A fake leg, and he was playing like 35 minutes in the playoffs, and he's the backup point guard.
So yeah, just, he's not even the starter. Well, it shows you how much Tom Thibodeau loves Derrick Rose.
And so, like, it's crazy with the situation in San Antonio. Now, I don't know if it's Popovich, and now the reports are last night, Greg Popovich flew out to talk to Kawhi Leonard. They said he's not alone, so he probably brought, I would figure, maybe LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know who else you would bring.
Or even Manu Ginobili, maybe.
I don't blame Kawhi Leonard for being pissed off, though, because he was looking out for his future. He wants at least one more max deal, endorsement money, things of that such. And they didn't really keep it in, like, in the clubhouse or in the locker room. They went out and people were saying stuff behind Kawhi's back to the reporters. Like, they should have kept that between them. Tony Parker said something like, I know how tough this injury could be because I dealt with the injury and played through it. Popovich kind of took shots. It's not a good look, man. And,
well,
that,
and here's
Kawhi's
the thing, too.
Loyal guy. It pissed him off.
And you mentioned, you know, it's all money talks and these guys want to get their money. There's nowhere Kawhi Leonard can go right now except for San Antonio, where he's going to get that Supermax contract. San Antonio's the only team that can offer him the Supermax, and he'll be making upwards of, what, $220 million most likely. But I think another thing that has to do with it that goes even beyond the toughness of coaches like the great Popoviches, like the Tom Thibodeaux, is the fact they didn't have his back. You know, Kawhi Leonard, when Derrick Rose was with the Bulls and he was going through his injury— his multiple knee injuries.
Say which one?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about his first one, because back then Tom Thibodeau had his back. Joakim Noah had his back.
They had
his back. The organization was backing Derrick Rose. They said we're going to let him deal it with his own time. It was a different situation with Kawhi Leonard because Leonard wasn't right mentally. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was right physically, but he didn't think he was right mentally. And you mentioned the Tony Parker. He said he went through the injury before. He played through it. That's not a subtle shot at Kawhi Leonard. I don't know what is. And it's like Kawhi Leonard has been with these guys his whole career. He's always had their backs.
Right.
I think he was kind of offended that they didn't really have his backs. And, you know, I can't blame Kawhi Leonard for it, because if you're looking at it in that sense of if they're going to be like this right now, how can I trust them in the future?
Exactly. And the crazy thing is, like, 10, 15, 20 years ago, a torn ACL pretty much ended your career. Guys didn't really come back from torn ACLs. Now with the medical advancements and things of that such, guys just bounce back and they're expected to be back in 8 to 12 months. And it's unrealistic for most guys. You know, Adrian Peterson had that MVP season where he rushed for, you know, almost 2,000 yards and just went crazy after a torn ACL. He's a freak of nature, though. And everybody's not built the same.
No.
So it's tough to say this guy should be back in 4 to 5 months because everybody's body is different, especially on the basketball court. If you're a point guard like Derrick Rose and your whole game is you're a slasher, you know, you're cutting this way, you're cutting that way, crossing over this way. Or even for Kawhi Leonard, you know, a two-way physical player that gives 100% max effort on both the offensive and defensive. And it's tough for him to come back from any type of injury. I mean, he knows his body better than we do.
And, yeah, and that's the one thing that I have a gripe with as well, is people, you know, throwing shade at athletes for not coming back as soon as they think they should come back. And the people that say, well, I had an ACL injury and I was back running on the track two, three, four months later. That's totally different. You're not playing professional basketball or professional football like Adrian Peterson was.
Right.
And not a difference between NBA and NFL. When you're a running back compared to a point guard or even any part, a perimeter player like Kawhi Leonard is, it's more east to west in basketball where you're playing defense each time down the court, whereas football, you make that one main cut and you're off running straight. So I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I would assume that puts a little bit more friction on the knee. It's gonna affect that knee differently than it would in NFL, but Adrian Peterson, of course, is a freak of nature.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, I think this is the most interesting story in the NBA, and it's kind of a breath of fresh air because we're not talking about LeBron as much as you know, I like to talk about LeBron. It's nice to talk about someone else who Kawhi Leonard, I think, in my eyes, when he's healthy, he's a top five player in the NBA.
And it's kind of in the same category as talking about LeBron, because I think that this dictates what's going to happen with LeBron, where Kawhi Leonard could possibly go.
Because if Kawhi goes to L.A., you got to think LeBron, that's his destination now. Paul George can go down there. But you also have to look at Cleveland. They've made calls to San Antonio and trying to make a package deal for Kawhi Leonard. And there's so many variables that plays into it, because Kawhi has stated he wants to go to L.A. That's his first choice. But you have to look at it from the Spurs standpoint as
They're not sending them to L.A.
They don't want to send them to L.A., but you have to look at the other teams now, the other 28 teams that aren't San Antonio, aren't L.A. They've heard Kawhi say, I want to play for the Lakers. They're not going to be willing to give up as much as the Lakers would be, because they don't know if Kawhi's going to come back. He's had 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
They may not be able to convince him to stay. So how much are they going to give up? So if you're the Spurs, you want to get the most out of Kawhi. Do you kind of have to just respect his wishes?
Yeah, I mean, you made a great point. If he wants the money, the safe play is the Spurs. 5 years, $219 million. That's the super max he could get from the Spurs. He'd be taking a pay cut. Now, if he doesn't feel like the Spurs are built to win anymore, because really, I mean,
they're not.
They're old. I mean, Ginobili's old. Tony Parker's old. LaMarcus Aldridge kind of disappears in the playoffs. I mean, he's not a proven force in the playoffs, and especially in the Western Conference. I mean, he's going to have to get past guys like Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and the whole freaking Warriors team. So they're not built to win. So Kawhi Leonard, maybe he wants to go and pair himself with LeBron, but that's a great point. I mean, if you're the Spurs and you are going to package him, I'm sending him to the East. I'm not sending him anywhere in L.A. I don't want to see him 4 or 5 times per year in the regular season and in the playoffs. Because here's the craziest thing that's happened in the past year, besides the dysfunctionality, I can't even speak English today, besides how dysfunctional it is, though, in San Antonio, all of a sudden, after, you know, they've been just like, everybody's always, you want to see a great organization, look at the Spurs. But the crazier thing is that people have forgot how good at basketball Kawhi Leonard is, because he's a top 10 player on both sides of the ball. Yeah. He's really good.
And I would even one up and say top five.
Yeah, okay, I'll go top five. I see all these crazy questions on Twitter, even at our station, like, would you take Kawhi Leonard on the Bucks? Yeah, you could have anything you fucking want except for Giannis, is what I would say.
Exactly.
You could have anything. You could take
The only thing I would be taken back with is that 1 year. But if you're talking about you're having Kawhi for the future of the Bucks, I'll trade Middleton, Jabari, Thon, Brogdon, those four guys
Banjo.
For Kawhi, just 4-on-1. I would do that, because that's how good Kawhi is. You have to understand how good of a player he is. Right now, Kawhi Leonard is a better player than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Absolutely.
If you don't want to admit it, that's fine, but it's true. Kawhi Leonard is one of the youngest NBA Finals MVPs. He's won a championship before. He's the best player on the Spurs today.
All NBA first team twice. He may be the
best two-way player in the NBA. It's either him or LeBron.
Totally agree with that. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. But I would like to see him and LeBron. See, now I'm all on. I hate the super team thing.
Yeah,
but now we almost need another one.
As a fan, you're kind of looking for, well, who's the next team to take down Golden State? Houston came close, but
Boston, I think, wins the NBA championship if everybody stays healthy.
You think so?
I don't know. I think the Warriors still got one more year in them. But you need
a team in the Western Conference to stack up physically to Golden State. And as well as the Rockets played, took them to 7 games. They're actually up 3-2 in that Western Conference Finals Series. I don't think Houston's the team to take them down. If you have a Laker team with Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and adding Paul George in the mix, that's a team that realistically on paper, man, they can match up, because you can have Kawhi guard Kevin Durant. That gives LeBron James opportunity to rest on defense.
Yeah.
You can have LeBron guard Draymond on defense, and then Paul George can, you know, he can follow Klay Thompson around. Then you have to just find a defensive point guard that can at least slow down Stephen Curry. That's a team that would be really exciting to watch. And I know we want to say that we don't like these super teams. I'm not a huge advocate for them either. But the last 4 NBA finals, those have been the highest rated finals since 2004. So excuse me when you say you don't want to watch the Warriors and Cavs again in the finals. Yes, you do, because the ratings prove it.
Well, I don't want to watch the Warriors and Cavs ever again after that shit series. I can tell you that.
I don't think it will happen again.
Cleveland needs a completely
Cavs are going to be
new
a lottery team after LeBron leaves.
I don't even know if LeBron's leaving, though, to tell you the truth. Where's he going? It's going to be interesting to see what the Lakers do, because the Lakers do have a lot of young pieces to move. I don't think that they're going to move Lonzo Ball, but I do think that Brandon Ingram will be gone. And He could be like a 20-8 guy, Brandon Ingram. I think he could still be a great player. He kind of reminds me of Oladipo. They're two completely, totally different players. One's
just in
a two
the sense
guard,
that he hasn't gotten the opportunity
one's
yet.
One's a 6'8 wing guy. But yeah, I just feel like if he goes somewhere where he could be the guy, doesn't have to play with Julius Randle, get him his touches, Lonzo Ball, Kuzma. I mean, they got a great team. A great team, but they got a lot of good young prospects in L.A. I feel like if he goes somewhere where he could be somewhere like Phoenix would be interesting.
You know, Devin Booker.
Put him, Booker, and then the
DeAndre
number one
Ayton
pick.
Probably.
Yeah.
Ayton, wherever you say his name. But, yeah, you look at the Lakers, too. They have some turmoil, of course, with Lonzo Ball with a diss track on Kyle Kuzma. That doesn't look good for the organization. Magic Johnson was
Those guys
not
are boys,
happy
though.
About it.
Everybody's.
They are boys, you're right. And what's the one thing LeBron James doesn't like?
Well, that's the thing.
Playing with young kids. He likes playing. That's why he made the trade for Kevin Love and Andrew Wiggins. Here's that's why he brought him in. That's why he brought Wade in. That's why he brought Rose in.
True.
Now, then, of course, he facilitates a trade to get the younger guys in. That didn't work out.
He likes younger guys that could play.
Yeah,
though.
But I don't think LeBron likes, he doesn't like immature guys.
Well, right. No,
young guys are okay,
not.
But immature guys are not. And Lonzo Ball has proven he is an immature guy to this point, which, you know, I don't want to rip on the guy because he is young and he is, you know, just out of college, has rookie season last year. But yeah, LeBron doesn't like playing with immature guys and because he wants to win championships. You don't win it with immature players.
Before we move on from the NBA, speaking of immature players, as we record this podcast today, the Charlotte Hornets send Dwight Howard to the Brooklyn Nets for center Timothy Mozgov in 2 second
nice
round.
Nice transition.
Picks.
Immature players. You look up in the dictionary, it's Dwight Howard right there.
Is Dwight Howard the biggest disappointment in NBA history?
You know what? When he was with Orlando and you were comparing his numbers to Shaq, you know, when Dwight was averaging 27 points, 15 rebounds.
Individually
led
took
that
him to an NBA Finals.
Team to the NBA Finals.
Beat LeBron.
Where you had a starting lineup of Jameer Nelson, Hidoo Turkoglu. J.J. Redick, Rashard Lewis.
My
man. Nice players.
Jameer Nelson was on that team.
I mentioned Jameer Nelson.
He was like the second best player on that team.
Yeah, he was. And Dwight Howard, coached by Stan Van Gundy at that time, he was the man in the middle where guys would collapse on him, and he would pass it out, and they would live and die with a three ball. Jason Richardson was on that team. I don't know if JJ was.
Jason Richardson was on that team.
JJ Redick
wasn't on the team.
He was not at that time. No. So I want to take back on that. Jason Richardson was a shooting guard at that time.
Yep.
And I'm glad I caught myself there. But that roster, you look at that roster, you take Dwight Howard off that roster, what are they doing? Maybe not even a playoff team. Like, that was... Yeah, Dwight Howard was a special player. And then I don't know what happened with him. He went over to Houston, and like pre-game, Kevin McHale's teaching him post moves. It's like, you've been in the league for 9-10 years. You don't know how to work down low in the post. And he has to be one of the most disappointing players in the NBA with the talent he had. He was the first pick in the draft in 2004, that year when Emeka Okafor and Ben Gordon co-branded Rookie of the Year. But Dwight Howard, you knew, was going to be the main star out of that draft. Mm-hmm. He was just a raw talent. Yeah, man, he is a disappointment. I don't know where you'd rank him up with biggest disappointments in NBA history, but he's definitely up there.
I got him right there with Derrick Rose because he was the youngest MVP.
Yeah.
And I think he was the worst MVP in NBA history because of injury, where Dwight Howard was unstoppable, and then he got paid a lot of money, not only on his deals, but in endorsements, became a household name, went to his NBA finals, couldn't quite carry the team by himself, you know, to get past, you know, to get that chip. And then just got a little complacent, got a little lazy. And now, I mean, he's been on the Rockets. He's been in Atlanta, Charlotte, and now Brooklyn. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants to play with him. I feel like he's an asshole in the locker room. He has
Brendan
a huge
Hayward
ego.
Said that they didn't
People
like him
People just
there.
Think he's a prick.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck him. He's not worth it anymore. He's not going out there and grabbing 20 rebounds. It's weird. Every once in a while, he will. Didn't he have a 30-rebound night?
Something like that. And he was kind of a guy where he would play when he wanted to. Kind of like a Tim Thomas character where you had all this talent. You were big, strong. Tim Thomas, of course, can hit from the outside as well. Dwight Howard just was so dominant down low. And defensively, he won a Defensive Player of the Year. Correct me if I'm wrong. He won once or twice.
Yeah, he used to go hard on both sides. That's what I'm talking about.
He was a fun player to watch.
And that Magic team was so freaking good because what they did is they had shooters. And Turkoglu and all these guys, that's what they were. Jason Richardson.
They were going to live and die by the three ball. They were today's Golden State Warriors in that sense.
That was the
thing. They were going to live and die with the three
ball. That's how they beat LeBron, because Cleveland was doubling down on Dwight Howard the whole time, and he was just kicking it out to shooters for open jumpers. And then if you started focusing up on top of the key of the shooters around the perimeter, then Dwight Howard was just killing them. So, I don't know. I think I go Derrick Rose number one as far as disappointment. I mean, there's plenty of guys from back in the day you could throw on there. As great of a career as Grant Hill had, he's kind of a disappointment.
Yeah, because
when he was
trying to be even better. But MVP, I mean, he's got a statistically filled career. Brandon Roy is a guy
I
would throw out there. Tracy McGrady, yeah. Even Greg Oden, I mean, with the press he got and the fact that he was taken one pick before Kevin Durant, he's got to be kind of thrown out there. But Dwight Howard, with Derrick Rose, I'm not as upset with because a lot of it had to do with the injuries. Dwight Howard, it's
more mental,
exactly. He had the injury, but not at the time that Derrick Rose had it, where Dwight Howard should have been dominating the NBA for 10 to 12 to 15 years, and he just didn't do it because his head was in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Real quick before we get off NBA, who anybody that you want to see the Bucks take on Thursday night will be up there for the draft? Anybody that you're looking at, or do you really?
No, because I don't know much about what's going on in the NBA draft, and I'll admit it, because I haven't really been paying attention to college basketball the last few seasons. I know the big names like DeAndre Ayton. I know Michael Porter Jr., Trae Young, what those guys can do. But where the Bucks are drafting at 17, I won't give you a name, but I want to see them get a shooter. That's the main thing, because this past season it was so tough for the Bucks to score offensively when Giannis was playing 1-on-5 basketball and getting into the paint, and then he kicks it out to whoever's out there, whoever's out at the three-point line, whether it's Matthew Dellavedova, whether it's Malcolm Brogdon, and they didn't always convert from three-point range. You need that sharpshooter that can, when Giannis does command a double team, he can find for an open three ball.
I want Grayson Allen.
I like Grayson
Especially
because
everybody here hates
him. Now, you're
him.
Wearing a North Carolina shirt right now, and before we did this podcast, I mentioned, why the hell are you wearing a North Carolina shirt?
Because I'm having a sweat day in the sauna today, getting prepared
for
the weekend.
So you're wearing your shitty clothes.
Yeah, so I wear like the shittiest thing I could find. This is my brother's. But I love Grayson Allen. He actually works out. Well, he did his first year at Duke and his senior year in Florida with my uncle. My uncle runs a basketball camp. He used to coach Division I hoops. So I was like, is this guy nuts? And he's like, no, he's just a competitor. He may have a screw loose. But
yeah,
not only could he knock down jumpers and he's a three-point shooter, but he's also a great slasher. He won the dunk contest going into college. So he's got some hops. I like him. You need a guy like that.
Grayson
Allen's
nutcase. Coming out party was against Wisconsin.
When he was in the national championship.
That's when he was a freshman, and you saw him, and you saw the potential he had in a
MVP of the Final Four.
And you mentioned, too, J.J. Redick, who, no one liked him in college, and he's turned out to have a
very
good
NBA
career. Grayson Allen's a guy that I would not be upset at all if the Bucks
snagged him
at 17.
I'm not a jersey guy. I might get a Grayson Allen jersey.
No, you won't.
I won't do that.
I'll take the over that you won't on that.
I won't buy a basketball jersey ever again, unless I could find a Tony Kukoc Milwaukee Bucks. That's the only one I need to add to my Kukoc collection.
How many Kukoc jerseys do you have?
4.
And it's a black, a red, and a white Bulls?
Yeah, I actually have 2 whites.
Oh, okay.
Because I kind of outgrew one. And I was going to save it for my kid, but now that I get older, I realize my kid's not going to give a shit about Tony Kukoc.
Yeah.
She's going to want, give me a Giannis. I'm not going to wear a 55-year-old Croatian 6'11 swing man jersey that averaged 12.4 points in his career. Let's move on to these Madden
ratings.
Yeah,
you collect Tony Kukoc jerseys. One thing I collect is Madden, because I've bought Madden every single year since 1999.
Same here.
I love Madden. It's the only football game out right now, technically, because they have a deal with EA Sports, that is, has a deal with the NFL, where they're the only company that has a license to these players, and I need the names of the players. I need Antonio Brown. I need Aaron Rodgers. I need these guys on the teams. And the Madden ratings came out the other day. And of course, every year they come out, we always have opinions on these ratings and why we don't think they're good.
Right.
The Packers, of course,
just
as
got
a team,
shit on.
They're not even an 80 team. They're 79. They're the 14th ranked team in the game.
That's like the fucking rating the Bears get every year is like 77, 78. So it's kind of ridiculous. I usually don't piss and moan about the Madden ratings. I usually find them to be mostly accurate. Sometimes it's hard to evaluate rookie players, things like that. Guys coming off an injury. But this year, man, is brutal. Obviously, you get Aaron Rodgers. He's a 99. Here's some things that kind of really made me shake my head. Randall Cobb, an 83. I'm fine with that. But Mike Daniels, an 83. And then you got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix at an 85 coming off the year he had. Kenny Clark getting some love, 86.
Yeah, Mike Daniels, I don't understand.
Devontae Adams, an 87.
Devontae Adams should
be higher.
He's got
to be a 92.
Devontae Adams should be higher. You're talking about the best wide receivers in this game. Antonio Brown, 99. I get that. Julio Jones, 96. Okay. Odell Beckham Jr., 94. AJ Green, 93. DeAndre Hopkins, 93. I think should be a little bit higher. And then Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, 90. You got to expect Devontae Adams to be right in that Stephon Diggs mold at 89 or 90. I think he's a little bit too low. Mike Daniels, I don't get at 83 when you have Randall Cobb, who's at 83. And you're talking about just total impact of a player. I think Mike Daniels makes more of an impact than Randall Cobb does. We'll find out this year with Aaron Rodgers back under center. But yeah, these ratings, I love going through them. I mean, the quarterbacks, it's funny, Ryan, on the morning show, Chuck and Winkler, I'm the producer for the morning show. We did the Gil Brandt put out this article.
Oh my God, I'm so pissed off about that. Don't even get me started.
We won't get into that today.
I just want to make a point. Yeah.
Because Gil Brandt put up the top 16 quarterbacks of all time, right? Aaron Rodgers was left off that list. I'll mention two. Bart Starr was left off that list. Brett Favre, I think, was number 8.
Vince Young left off that list.
Steve Young. Well, Vince Young,
no, Vince
obviously.
Young should be top 10.
No, he should be off the list. I don't want to get into that. College football players, fine. NFL, absolutely not. So Tom Brady was number 1 on Gil Brandt's top 16 quarterback list of all time. Stop it. I think he just missed it. I think he was number 17. So the Madden 19 player ratings quarterbacks.
Cade McNown.
Third, Drew Brees at 90. Second,
yeah,
Tom Brady at 97. First, Aaron Rodgers at 99. Aaron Rodgers is constantly up there in the high 90s. He's ahead of Tom Brady in this Madden rankings. I agree with that. Drew Brees at 90? Yeah, I at this point of his career, I'm not putting him at 90.
No, I don't think I give. Well, maybe.
I mean, are you putting him?
I still do. Yeah, I still got him at like 90, 92. I thought we were going back to that article. I wouldn't have Drew Brees that high. Madden rating, I'm fine with him being.
You're fine at 90?
He could be a 95, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Carson Wentz deserves some love up there. I don't know if he should be in the 90s. You look at Ben Roethlisberger.
Now I'm all confused about Carson Wentz because I thought he was like the next big thing. Like, I mean,
and then
he was an
Nick
MVP
Foles.
Candidate. But yeah, then Nick Foles balled the fuck out in the Super Bowl, especially. So now I'm confused if it's just that offensive system, if Carson Wentz really is that good. I think he's still a good player, don't get me wrong. But is he an MVP candidate again? Also, I think that we're highly overrating the Eagles. I get that they're Super Bowl champions.
They're a 90 team rating, and you talk about the Patriots. What are they? 84?
I'm going to go under on the win totals for the Eagles in Vegas this year. I think the Eagles, I really mean this too, I think the Eagles go 8-8 this year.
If you're anything like, if you're not a degenerate, like myself and Ryan, who are not degenerates because we sports gamble.
I'm watching
gamble.
A soccer game right now as we speak, rooting for the over.
We'll get to gambling on this podcast because we both love it greatly, and we can't wait till gambling is legal here in Wisconsin. And Ryan, of course, gambling right now on the soccer games.
Illegally.
Kidding. You have a friend in Delaware, right?
I'm just throwing a couple bucks down. With
or a friend
just,
down
just
in New
some,
Jersey or in
just
Vegas.
Some buddies. We'll call him Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Irvine, right?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he used to play some outside linebacker.
Yeah, yeah. What team did he play for? I can't remember. I can't remember his Madden rating as well. If you know Bruce Irvine's Madden rating, let us know. I'm at Cody Grant 2015. He's at Ryan Horvat, spelled like it sounds, HRRVAT. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I had to think about it a little bit. But Madden ratings are out. It's Madden season as it's getting closer to its release. It releases in August. I can't wait for it. I'll be playing. I'll probably take some days off to play this game. I mean, I've taken days off for WrestleMania before and SummerSlam. No reason why I can't take some days off for Madden.
That works for me. I'll fill in for you.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you're my go-to fill-in by now.
Okay. We got to wrap this up now. Let's talk a little baseball real quick. Two best teams in the National League right now. Not just in the NL Central, but in the National League.
Brewers and Cubs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
How can we not? So do people know the secret about you?
No, nobody needs to know either.
Nobody needs to know.
We'll save that for episode 4 at least.
Episode 4, okay. Episode 4, catch us
I
for
used to
Ryan
play for
Horvath's
the Cubs.
Secret.
I was a bullpen catcher.
Really?
No, absolutely not. Are you fucking kidding me?
Come on, keep
be
it going.
Sitting here right now.
Yeah. How much does bullpen catchers make?
More than I make.
Oh, I figured that. Everybody makes more than you
I
make.
I was going to say, the fucking cashier.
Yeah. Radio doesn't
across
pay
the
well.
Street.
Newsflash.
No, but I think they're the two best teams in the National League. I really hope that they meet in the postseason. I think there's a chance, an outside shot, even the Cardinals could get in, and you could get three teams in the NL Central in.
And you look at the Pirates right now, too, of how good they're playing.
They're going to fizzle out.
I think they will fizzle out.
I mean, they kind of have.
But they're still, I mean, how many games back are they from the Brewers right now? They're still
who's that?
The Pirates.
The Pirates are just right now back at 500 on the season.
Okay.
So I think they're what, 5.5? Let me pull up these standings now that you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah. Well,
Cardinals are like 4.5. Back.
I'll keep stalling a little bit, but right now, name a better division of baseball than the NL Central.
I'm gonna have
as a whole.
So it's okay. The Cubs are a half a game back after last night's split with the Dodgers. Brewers in first place by half a game. St. Louis 4 games out. Pittsburgh 7 games out. I think they're cooked. They're 36-37, a game behind 500. Better division in baseball, I would have to go to the American League West because I think the Astros are the best team in baseball. I'm going to throw down some money actually today as we speak.
Well, they won 12 straight. They lost last night.
They finally did. They finally lost last night. 9-1 in their last 10. You mentioned they had won 12 at one point. They're 49-26. Seattle right there at 46-27. You got the Angels at 39-35. Oakland's 37-36. Even in the basement, Texas is 31-44.
Okay, so that's a pretty good division right there.
That's a really good division. The Angels, I mean, they're going to probably be on the downfall with the Ohtani injury. But, man, Seattle's fucking good. They're 6-4 in their last 10. And, Houston, though, man, I would never pick a team to repeat in baseball. I just think it's too hard. It's freaking impossible. But they are really good. They score at will. The pitching's great. And I think that Houston is a legit contender once again this year.
Yeah, AL looks tough with Houston. Of course, the Red Sox and the Yankees, you have both those teams in the AL East.
The baseball, Red Sox have been struggling
playoffs,
to score runs for some reason.
It's going to be fun this year. Like it is every year when it comes to the baseball postseason. But Brewers and Cubs right now within a half game of each other. It's going to be a fun finish, but we have a long way to go as baseball is a marathon and we're only in June here. So plenty of baseball left to be played. This is the Wednesday with Ryan and Cody, episode 1. That's going to do it here for this episode. Again, we'll get to betting later on. We'll get to Ryan's Secret by episode 4. Plenty of sports, movies, video games, all that and more. Thanks for stopping by.